Blog Talk Radio.
And let's welcome to the Rock Church of Virginia Beach. Come on, put your hands together all the way from Long Island, New York. Let's hear it for Pastor Donnie McCorkin.
Somebody give Jesus praise here.
God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studio. We're going to be actually cranking it up here just a minute. Our two guests are going to be calling into the show. We're going to get started on this Axiom Tuesday testimony. Both of you have been joining us for several last show. We had a man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, that comes in from Saturday. He's a nice man of God.
I want you to participate in the worship of tonight.
As you continue to help us go forth in the work we're doing here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studio. We're not going to delay the time here. We're going to actually move forward. We're going to actually let the music solidify itself in just a little bit. I've got a few announcements I want to bring out to you guys before we get started up and get going here. For those of you who are actually joining the show and being a part of the work we're doing here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studio, I want you to feel comfortable in actually going to our website and kind of take note of some of the information we have on board for you guys and know more about what we're doing over here at the Harvest. Truly great international work that's going on here at Harvest Light Church. We want to make sure that you guys are going to be a part of what we're doing here. And as we said before, we're going to actually let you guys know we got our we're going to kind of cut the music back here a little bit. We're going to pray here in a little bit. We're going to get open up here. I want you guys to know about our actually international summit that's coming up here. It's going to be actually a Harvest New Life Church International Summit. It's going to come up here real soon. We're actually in the process of getting that together. Didn't want to bring information out about it right now, but we're going to let all those who are listeners and those who are a part of it be a part of the show. Got some powerful men of God that's been coming in and actually helping us to persist. It's coming up. And we think it's going to be something that God has really ordained to be. We think it's going to move forward with such an explosion in the body of Christ. We think it's going to be something that's really going to help us in our move with Christ. But just like I said, we want to get moving here. So we want to offer the man of God that's coming into the studio, Elder Kerry Williams. We see he's actually stepped into the studio here. We want to make sure we get started here. But for those guys who are actually coming into the show and being a part of what we're doing here at Harvest New Life Church, why don't you go to the website. It's going to be harvestnewlifechurch.com. And that's all the information you need to know about. These shows are being produced out of this hub here at Harvest Light Church and several other shows around the country. And this one we had coming up also with our extra, the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, is doing a great job in the work he's doing here. So it's always a blessing for you guys to be on board. The number to call in tonight is going to be actually 516-387-1220. We're going to let this man of God come on in here. We're going to open up with prayer. We're going to get started. It's a 60-minute show. So we want to keep things at a minimum. We want to keep moving. We kind of run out of our time here the last couple of services, but we want to make sure we're going to stay minimum on the time here. My sound may be a little fluctuating back and forth. It depends on what your cell phones may be, but we're showing all across the board green lights here. So if you get a little distorted, just kind of put a tentative ear and just hear what the Word of God has to speak on Saturday. I'm going to introduce this man of God, Elder Kerry Williams. We're going to open up and get started here. Kerry Williams, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get the show on the road. And let's go ahead and get started, and I'll turn it over to you as of this time.
All right, amen. God bless you tonight. Welcome to Tuesday Night Testimony Broadcast with myself, Elder Kerry Williams, and Pastor Charles Ellis of Harvest New Life in Dallas, Texas. We're going to have a word of prayer real quick, and then we're going to move quickly through. We don't want to spend too much time. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your people tonight, oh God. We thank you for the ones that are looking towards you. We understand, oh God, that all our helps come from you, God, and we thank you for anyone who may be listening tonight, oh God, who is down in their spirit and heavy in their hearts, oh God. We thank you tonight, oh God, for we understand that you are the God of all comfort, you are the God of all grace, and we would, oh God, that you would continue to bless us, that we might continue to partake of the bread of life and continue to become kingdom builders and mighty powerful building blocks for your kingdom. These are all the blessings we thank you for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, God bless you tonight. Amen. We just count it a blessing and a privilege to be here and to be yoked in ministry with this great man of God. He is a longtime childhood friend, schoolmate, teammate, and everything. And I thank God for Pastor Charles Ellis because he is a man who is tireless in his endeavor and his zeal to build the kingdom of God. He is a great man of kingdom principles, and we're just glad to be here tonight. But we want to talk to you very quickly. I got quite a bit of text to go through, so I'm going to try to make this as quickly as possible because we want to get to open the lines up as soon as possible. But I've had a very stressful week, amen, and very long week. The enemy tried to attack my body. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't speak for anybody else. But whenever the enemy attacks me, I actually count, as Paul said, I count it all joy because I know that he's mad because God is doing something in and through me. So I thank God for that. But I was attacked and my body had a long week in church and different things. And then Thursday night I became ill. And it just led me to spend some time in some of my favorite scripture. And we want to do that tonight. We want to take a look at some very familiar scripture. But we want to encourage you tonight to stay on the battlefield for the Lord. Because at the end of the day, Paul told us to be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap much if we faint not. And we've got to understand that truly the battle is God's. And we're going to look at just that. But there's a formula I want to leave with you. There's a formula. And if you look at this scripture and you follow it through, you'll see the formula that God laid out. And what's so great about it is that God did everything for us except for the four things he laid out for us to do. That is fast, pray, worship, and praise. Again, that's fast, pray, worship, and praise. And I got to thank God for Pastor Rob, Robert Williams also. We kind of came up with this message, and I'm actually partially bootlegging from him. But let's look at the scripture. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I know it's a very familiar passage of scripture for many of you who are longtime, who are saints of God, because in this particular text, it actually gives us everything that we need to stand and to go through whatever the enemy's bringing at us. Verse 21 says, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, I'm reading from New King James Version, besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and said, Jehoshaphat told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is on Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. First of all, you've got to understand when the enemy tries to bring fear upon us, see, fear is a robber of faith. Fear is so dangerous to us. Fear goes hand in hand with unbelief, and fear would cause the children of Israel, a whole generation who had received the promise of the promised land, but did not get to enjoy it because they disobeyed God out of fear and unbelief. So you got to be careful. That I was speaking with a sister out in Las Vegas the other night, and she contacted me. She wanted me to, you know, minister to her about some things. She's fearful for her son's life. And I began to tell her about this scripture and let her know that, first of all, fear is the first thing you've got to eliminate from the equation. Fear is a natural reaction to us, but see, God has given us the power and the ability to overcome fear and any of those reactions. So verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And the first thing he did after that was proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. This was a corporate fast. And this is where a lot of times we fall short at today. Even myself, I had to ask the Lord to forgive me because I'm so busy doing this and doing that. And I don't take the time to fast enough. At least I didn't. I do now. I've been fasting all week. But when it comes to fasting, fasting is a personal issue of self-sacrifice between you and God. Jesus said that some things just aren't going to come about but by prayer and fasting. So the first thing Jehoshaphat did was call a fast throughout the whole land of Judah. And then it goes back. Once he called that fast, though, it says, Judah, verse 4 says, Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. When you're fasting, saints of God, when you're praying, when you're spending time in your closet, when you're feeding on the word, and when you're doing everything you can to stay and walk in the spirit, then God will definitely move on your behalf. See, God honors this word above his very name. If it's in this word, if he encourages you, he commands you to do it, if he lays it out for you, then you do it. God has to perform it. He cannot lie. So Judah gathered together to ask help of the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, and this is a very powerful prayer, and I'm going to tell you something else right here. Take from the example of this prayer. Whenever you need a breakthrough and you want to pray to God and move God along with this fasting, pray God's word back to him. It's called meditation, but pray God's word back to him and pray to God of his attributes. It's what's called a praiseful prayer, because when you do this, you're praising God and you're praying to God at the same time, but you're reminding God, not that he needs to be reminded, but you're speaking God's word back to him, and you're letting him know not only who he is, what he does, but what he's already promised. He must perform it. So Judah said to the Lord, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you rule over, do you not rule over all the kingdom of the Thasians? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? It's just like a lot of things that we do. I learned a long time ago, when you want to get along with folks, and particularly on your job and things like this, a company, any company that you work for always has a policy, always have a company policy in place. And when you sign on to that job with that company, they'll give you what's called an employee manual. Within that employee manual, it has all of the policy that you need to know to regulate and how to get along in your job and not violate things that would cause you to lose your job. Well, this word right here is our employee manual. God's the employer. This word right here is our own personal employee manual. So when you go to God and you've read the things that God has promised you, hallelujah, I'm getting excited now, but when you're digesting and reading the things that God has promised you, you can go to God and ask him, well, Lord, is this not you? Oh, Lord, is this not you that does this, that said that, that owns this, that did that? And this is exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He said, in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, and this is one of my favorite parts, and in your presence, for your name is in this temple. And remember, your body, the Bible says the body is the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you're speaking this language to God, you're reminding God, okay, God, I'm your temple. You reside in my temple. So I'm calling on access to the power that you've already placed in me. Look that up in Ephesians 3:20. Now, He said, if disaster comes upon the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. This is what I'm trying to pray every day down to the Lord concerning my health and my body. I refuse to allow the enemy to throw me out of my possession. The enemy cannot kill me. The enemy cannot destroy me unless I give him the power and the access to do that. That's not going to happen, praise the Lord. But what he's saying right here in verse 12, I love this. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But hear this. Our eyes are upon you. Hallelujah. Listen. We all have moments and times in our life where not only we become fearful, but sometimes we just don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know how to proceed. Sometimes we don't even know how to take on a scene. But according to the words of King Jehoshaphat right here, he said, we have no power against this great multitude. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes upon you. Listen, saints, we get into places and we get into habits and practices and songs, and we like to quote certain scriptures because they sound good and they're cliche to us. But that scripture is living life. It's the bread of life. It's the living word. It's alive, and when it's alive and active in your spirit, you speak that word, God must move upon it. So I try and pray parts of this prayer every day, along with the prayer, the Paul's of the Pauline prayers of Paul and Trine. I'm sorry to say, in Galatians and Ephesians. But he went on, and he said, "Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly." Now, here's the word for you tonight. If you don't remember, hear, or receive anything I said, please put this in your spirit, because this is what's going to keep you insulated and armored for the rest of your walk. It's a very familiar scripture. You've heard it many times. But the power in it and the truth in it is what is so awesome, especially when you're going through and you're under attack. Verse 15, and he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you as well, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Beloved, if you believe that and you wear that and walk in it every day, it automatically takes control and it becomes your life. Now, remember the formula I said. He started out with fasting, and then he went to prayer. This is the prayer portion. Next, he's going to go into worship. He told them, still prophesying, he said, "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." He repeats, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves." T.D. Jakes had a book and a whole series about positioning yourself and repositioning yourself to receive the things of God. position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. He instructed them, said, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, here's where the worship comes to that. Jehoshaphat bowed his head in faith, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. See, once you fasted, once you prayed, then worship starts the active ingredient. Worship starts the process, because worship brings you into the presence of God, and then you go into praise. And praise literally moves the hand of God. He said they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose, verse 20 says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. The formula, everything we need for victorious living is laid out right here. That word believe, which is translated aman, it says, I'm going to give you a definition for it. It says to be firm, stable, established, to believe solidly in its causative form. Aman means to believe. That is to consider trustworthy. The word is also used in Genesis 15:6 when Abraham believed in the Lord. Now here in 2 Chronicles, you actually see this word three times, believe, believe, believe. But it's translated here in this passage, be established in the Lord, and you will be established. Now, the most famous derivative of that word, of course, we know, comes from aman or imana, which means faith. The most famous derivative, though, the one that we use and you hear all the time, and many people don't even know what it means, is amen. Or amen, whichever you way you prefer. But it confers the idea that it is solidly, firmly, surely true, and verified and established. And that describes God. I'm trying to wrap this up real quick. But going on through the rest of this chapter, verse 21 says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Last scripture I'm going to read, verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon. King James Version says ambushments. Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. Now you go on down through there, and it says that as they went along praising God, Judah went first. Judah went out and praised God first, and as they went down through there, the Lord moved and began to attack. This army attack one another, and then when they were finished, nobody was left alive. That's just how God does. When God moves an obstacle out of you, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's going to remove it totally. Those of you that are like me that need healing in your body, been waiting on and looking for a long time, be encouraged. God's going to remove that thing as long as you can follow this formula and stay strong in your faith. God will remove it. He has to. And they went on and they capped it off by saying that when these armies, these invading armies, took each other out and the Israelites got there, praised their way on down through there, they found all these dead bodies. And they had all, the Bible says that they had all these precious jewelry and spoil and bounty, and they had to go back and forth to collect everything. And this is how God blesses us for faithfulness and rewards us for going through the storm by holding on to his precious hand. The reward was so great, it took them 3 days to gather everything they got off those armies to take it back to Judah. Now, I don't know about anybody else tonight, but one of the main reasons why I do what I do is because I believe God for a reward. I'm not just talking about no money. I ain't talking about nothing physical, but I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about a godly reward. You know, the Bible says that as long as we can remain faithful, the Bible says that, you know, blessed is the man who endures temptation because when trials and temptation, because when it's all over. As a matter of fact, Paul said that he who endures, he's going to receive a crown of life. And this is our goal. This is our end goal. We want to make it out of this world alive. Yeah, we're going to go through things. Yes, we're going to be tempted, tried, attacked. Our feelings are going to be hurt. We're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. But at the end of the day, any and everything you need, God's got it. I just want somebody to be encouraged tonight. Like I said, it's been a rough week for me. But when I look at this word and when I get to this and I get to these principles, fast, pray, worship, and praise, then God lifts me. God gives me another measure of strength that keeps me going. Because if any of you knew my testimony, you would understand why I say these things, why I feel this way, why I love God so much. The enemy's been trying to kill me for over 30 years with ongoing attacks over my body. But the more I press on, the more I stand up for God and fight for God, the stronger I get, the more God delivers me. He's already delivered me through so much. He's delivered me from cancer. He's delivered me from diabetes. He's delivered me from high blood pressure. He's yet delivering me from kidney disease. He's delivered me from attacks on my senses, dealing, messing with my balance. God is a keeper. And when I take the time to fast, to pray, to worship, and to praise him, it makes it all worth it. Because at the end of the day, no matter what comes at me, I know if I don't know by now that God's got me, then I'm lost anyway. But I thank and praise God for truth. I thank and praise God for victory. And I thank and praise God for a mindset to pray and to speak life and victory into anyone else that I come across. Because God is a God who rewards intercession. There's a reason he said, tell us not to be mocked. Because whatsoever God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow a life of intercession, God already has it by design that you're going to automatically receive a life of intercession. There are times God will intercede for you himself. Jesus is the great intercessor for us. And when we know our resource and when we hold on to it and tap into that resource and hold on to it for everything it's worth, you'll never go wrong. You will never be disappointed. You will never fail. God bless you. I tried to keep that short, but it's so much information. And I could go on and say so much more, but we want to get the lines open tonight. A great testimony, if nothing else. Go ahead, Pastor Charles.
Amen. No, we want to let the listeners know who are calling in tonight. The number to call in, we said before, is 516-387-1220. Now, you're open to call in, and you're open to elaborate with the man of God. And it was such a great story that he told. I mean, it by far is one of my great stories in the Bible. And that, which are many, but that story I can remember during one of my seminary speakings, I spoke on that particular scripture about how even in the midst of battles, you know, God is displayed to the point that, you know, you don't have to fight in any battle.
Amen.
Comes at you, whatever makes you feel opposite or make you feel what you say, proclivitized or orange cone, block, ditch. You know, fasting is a powerful thing if you understand the principle. Just fasting alone is not going to be the very thing that's going to bring you to the presence of the power and the illustration of work of the Holy Spirit. There's other things that encompass that. When you fast, you know, the Word of God, you speak about the process, or you're just getting some of the just some of the small things. And when you look at Matthew 6:6, you know, it's if you look at the coalition of how what he had to do to obtain the favor of God. You know, Matthew 6:6 talks about the process, but when you pray, Jehoshaphat fast, but he had to learn how to pray. I believe that it was a secret place in an inner room in which he gathered in the new court with all the men and women of God as he called them to come in and got on one accord. Now, you know, I believe it's Psalms 133 say, how good is it for men to dwell together? See, it's power in unity.
In unity. Exactly.
We call them together. This is why when we go through whatever it may be that's in our life, whatever we may be challenged in our life, you got to know who to call on when you're going through what you call a ditch. I mean, that's one of the words we used back in Michigan. It was a place that separated certain parts of the city. We used to call it a ditch.
That's right.
It was certain kind of, back then we didn't have these bridges. Am I saying something to somebody?
Come on.
We didn't have these bridges that we can cross over from 22nd to 23rd, which is the Buena Vista District, Saginaw Township separate. But if anybody understands what I'm saying, in order for you to get to the other side, we had to build a man-made structure. And we had to balance ourselves across the structure. Well, Pastor Ellis, what are you saying? When you go in your house and you pray, and the Word of God makes it very apparent and very clear. When you go in the house, he says in the Matthew 6:6, but when you go in, when you're going to pray, go into the inner room. He said, close your door. Now, he's not talking about anybody else. Close your door and pray to the Father in secret. And your Father, now notice what he says, when you're in your room and in your place, he sees you in secret and reward you openly. When you look at the story about when they came to Jesus, and you know, I'm just listening to what this man of God is saying, and it just brings a whole lot of relevancy to how now we understand fasting, and we understand praise. Jabez fast, I'm looking all these fasting we do. I'm gonna do this kind of fast, nuts and grapes and whatever, you know, just peanut, whatever you're gonna do. But one thing about fasting, and I remember Bishop Raymond Johnson saying something about this, and it still sticks in my mind, down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a powerful man of God. And he said, you can fast, you know, but it's not how much you don't eat, it's the kind of faith that you bring to the table.
There you go.
It's the same thing as with baptism. You can go down in a dry devil and come up a wet.
A dry devil and come up a wet.
But how your mindset is when you're going into whatever it is or what particular event is coming at you. I think if I ain't mistaken, man, the God of Romans sums it up, talks about that the calling of the mercies of God, that he's beseeching you, I mean, he's asking you earnestly in the process of whatever it is you're going through to present yourself as a sacrificial offering. But Romans also, in Romans 2, he said it all develops in how you're going to come out with your mindset. He said
you got
to renew your mindset. And what we all fail out in a lot of things, we do all the things that the works that make it seem like we're doing. We fast, we got
outwardly.
A form.
Yep.
In this. You know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
But what happens, we fail to understand that it's the belief, not only the belief, that exercise the dominion, not only just the belief. You don't see too many times in the Bible when you talk about believers. He talks you to believe, but he says believe, not believers. See, God declares his people for you to believe. He said to him that believe. He didn't say believer. He said to believe all things are possible. To him that believes. The word of God says when you're in your secret room and you begin to shut the door, you enter into a divine corner and place with Christ where no one else can go into. Because the Bible said fervent prayer. He's a righteous man. See, righteous men, your heart got to go in even before you enter in. I heard Dr. J.C. Maxwell says, the way you receive your grace, the way you receive your blessings, the way you receive the gifts of Christ is how your mindset is when you come into the room. When you come into the place, I think Jeremiah spoke the same thing to them over in Jeremiah 7, man of God. He talked about all entered in the house of Judah. He talked about how demonically deranged they were in terms of how they present themselves as coming to the body. Because see, a lot of things that we deal with, Elder, is all because of our mindset and how we position ourselves to realize and understand that even God said, you can believe all you want, but the devil believes. You know, and he, the Bible,
hey, preacher.
Am I in there?
Yes, sir.
But Genesis 26 says that when you understand what dominion is, supremacy, authority, territorial, you know, all these things, infinity, all that belongs to you. And we got a lot of people that say, I believe. No, you got to do more than believe. You got to exercise your power, your authority, what's been given over to you. I heard him make a statement in one of his speaking engagements. He said, when you are a man who stands out in traffic and you come before a man who's driving an 18-wheeler, and you point at that 18-wheeler and tell him to pull over, he going to shift that bad boy and I agree and hit the gas. But I'm going to tell you how you exercise your power. You let a man come out there with a uniform on. Am I saying something here? And you driving down the street in that 18-wheeler. We got to get a revelation of this. And if he points at you in a uniform which governs the land and tell you to pull that diesel, baby, you're going to down clutch. And you're going to pull that thing over at me. He ain't even got to chase you. He can just point at you. And that's how what kind of power we got to have when we walking with Christ.
Remind.
The Bible says, speak to infirmities. You've been uniformed through the power of God to speak revelation in illumination and through your dominion and supremacy, the devil has got to obey you. We don't exercise our power. Man of God.
Amen.
We don't walk in our supremacy. We don't. We really don't. You know, Jehoshaphat exercised authority. Because if you look at the book of Jehoshaphat, I mean, actually, where Jehoshaphat in Chronicles 20 and 20, if you look at the sixth verse, he challenges the word of God. He really does.
Exactly.
He brings a word to God in such a way that he, now this is really dangerous. It really is. But not for a man who knows who he is and who he belongs to.
Amen.
He said, hold on, God. You tell him about all this stuff I got going on, how you blessed me, I'm highly favored. That man challenged the word. He said, oh, Lord, God of fathers, who are they? He said, oh, Lord, God of our father, art not thou the God. Right there? Well, you better watch yourself. The last time I seen somebody shoot crap with God was Abraham when he was getting ready to start, actually destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave
him
to see if there's anybody out there was willing to be able to livable. God said, look, you get out.
Moses did it too.
Jehoshaphat said, he said, aren't you the God in heaven that ruleth? You know who he is. He the one got you to where you are, Jehoshaphat. Over all the kingdom of the heavens. Look what he said. In thy hands are there not. You know he got power. For you to see, I heard the man of God speaking like this. If you don't know how to talk to Christ in such a way to get the power that you need from him, most of us in the kingdom don't know how to talk. We don't know how to exercise what's in us to be able to get the power and supremacy out of God, what he's given us in Genesis 1 and 26. Well, I believe what the devil believed. But God said he gave you dominion, authority. He didn't just give you a belief. You just wasn't to be a believer. You've been given granted supremacy over the earth. The rule in every area of your walk. That's a challenging word that Jehoshaphat said to God in the position that he was in. You know, Kayal, you going out here, brother? You going to challenge me who I am, the creator of the universe and all the land that is? When you know how to practice authority, When you know how to practice power, you understand how the word of God came to him over there. I believe it was over in the book of Luke, I believe, in Luke 11, when his disciples came to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. They recognized their original ultimate purpose and specifically how they need to come in contact with such a powerful creator. What did Jesus say? First, he understood how you need to get in contact with the Father. He said, our Father, who are in heaven, he said, hallowed be thy name, let thy kingdom come.
Holy is thy name.
Let the will be done. You got to come to the point where you understand God has got to be in control. And when you're in the control, you become just like the puppet. Everything he tells you to do, you just move without resistance.
Right.
If you ever seen a puppet or been to a puppet show, they don't move unless the master moves them. You got to come that will to God to understand that God's got a plan for your life. I believe that whatever it is, and I know you're doing a great work, Elder Williams. I mean, it's not so much that the enemy got any kind of power over you.
Mm-mm.
You can command. The Bible says if you speak to the infirmity, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, can I talk to somebody? It's just like you having that uniform on and speaking at that infirmity, which is an 18 wheel. When you point at it, it's got to come to submission. That's the power God has given you. He gave you the power to rule, to reign, to convict and arrest, to shut down every negative thing that's not like God. That's in you. The Bible says, speak to the infirmity that's in you. When you look at the illustration of what this man of God is speaking about, you look over in the book of Luke, and Luke makes it real strong in Luke 9. Jesus called them together the same way he did over here in Luke 11. He called them together in Luke 9. He's in the call to 12 disciples and gave them right. Now listen what the Amplified Version says. He gave them a right to exercise authority over demonic diseases and heal everything. He gave them a right. They had given them a right to exercise power, not only just power and authority over all demons and to heal all diseases. Now look how he says. He said, I don't need nothing with me. When you look at Luke 9 in the second verse over in the Amplified Version, he says, then he sent them out into a brief journey to preach the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now, this is what we talk about on testimony night. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey that might encompass you. See, you got to know how to lay down every weight that so easily ensnares you. The Bible said you got to lay everything aside. You can't let things bother you mentally. He gave them a command. He said, anything that might hinder you, that encompass you, he said, I want you to take a walking stick. I want you to take your money, break, no bread, no money, no nothing. No two tunics. And everywhere you go where the enemy try to attack you, baby, if he's not going to listen to you, you got to know that you got the power to shake the dust off your feet and keep on moving. Because the devil ain't going to have no power over you. The Bible says if he's under your feet, then you need to leave him up under your feet. He said, every house that you enter, over there in Luke 9 and 4, if for every house that you enter, he says, stay there until the city, and then go to another. That means you don't worry about who don't receive you. When the enemy come at you, the Bible said, you have been given the authority. It's right there in the word. Look at the word in Luke 9. Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power. See, the same thing he did with them, he's doing to you. See, when Jesus ascended, he said, greater works that you may do. I ain't just talking about the disciples, woman and man of God. He's talking about us too.
Come on.
We got that power to exercise power and authority over all demons and to heal all diseases. Where's the word? It's in your mouth. You got to be able to speak a word. The Bible said, I heard that man of God again over there. And I don't want to keep, I ain't trying to give anybody accolades. Because I don't pony, I don't really demean myself. I give people credit where credit is due. But I don't really be like piggybacking off of nobody. God be when God made you through the mold away. And
Amen.
You got to ask a question like a lawyer. He's asking a question. Like he's a lawyer. And he talks about the why and the cause and what, you know, the events. It's like you got to do a CSI in the spirit. And you got to find out what it is that's in you. And today in the church, the reason we're in a crisis in the church, but the church has forgot the authority they in. Preachers are preaching every day, believe. But where's the authority? We ain't teaching the people the authority they got. Anybody can believe. But you got to know how to walk in your dominions or supremacy. The Bible said, matter of fact, when you look at the word over in Luke 16 and 19, I believe I'm in there somewhere, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thou shalt bind, Whatever I shall bind on earth, shall I bind in heaven. And whatsoever, he said, doesn't matter. Sickness, disease, whatever it may be, whatever thou shall loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. That is a powerful statement. You understand the reality of what it is. It's a process of transformation, a translation. It's a paradigm, as I heard the man of God say.
It's a transfer.
I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind and declare to be uprooted or improper, that's why you hear me in my prayer. I cast down every demonic spirit. I shut down everything that's not like God. God, you have given me the power to convict and arrest, to shut down everything that's not like God. I bind healing on this man of God's body from doing the work of the kingdom of God. I loose the very words that come out of the mouth of the doctors that's against him. That God, see, I've seen doctors practice medicine, but God don't practice medicine. God is a healer. What did God say? If you call on my name, if you just call on my name in your time of need, I'm more just and merciful and graceful to deliver you, just like I told these men. I gave you keys. Keys is with your mouth. That's why you got to learn how to talk. When you're talking about things, you got to know how to talk. All we do is talk and we go. And now, don't get me wrong. I want y'all to look at me funny. We go in church and we preach ourselves happy. We jump around and we're talking about the Holy Ghost, but then again, that ain't no action. Ain't nobody getting healed. Ain't nobody getting delivered. I'm talking about when the word of God speaks over in the book of Psalm 46, when he says that I'm a right now God. That's what he tells you. He didn't say later on. I'm a very present help and a very present time of need. That's the kind of authority God has given us as being man and woman of God. The Bible said to him that believe those things shall prosper. And that's not just money and whatever it is in your life. I got the right in the name of Jesus to speak to whatever it is that may try to come against me and declare by the word of God that it is so. That's why Jehoshaphat charged God up. He said, aren't you the God in heaven? Aren't you the one that rules over all the heathens? And then you got this great multitude that's coming against us? And that we can withstand them? Get them people out. Drive out them inhabitants. Get them up out of here. All of them boys that came at him. I want you to get rid of. See, you got to understand, the same thing that came at Jehoshaphat and him, and that multitude against beyond the seas of Syria, beyond of Ahazim and Engil, and Jehoshaphat began to set and seek the Lord. See, it's some Engil things coming against you. There's some Hazazimas coming against you. Am I in there? They coming beyond the seas. Them demons are trying to come at you. Them Anamites, them Amens. You got to know how to battle in the spirit. God has declared a ling over your word. And your life is in position. Hold on a second, man of God. You got a caller. I'm going to shut up. Let me be quiet. You got a caller. It's 810. I ain't going to say all the number. 810-793. You got a caller in the studio. God, let me back out and call you on the line.
Hi, this is Sandra. And, how you doing?
Good. God bless you.
Thank you. I had what they call a rare disease.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they will see it when you die, because it increases the pressure, and it came to be my adrenal gland.
Yeah.
On the left side. But the whole thing about it was I was at the hospital. I had no fear because I was with the Lord. You know, always been there. But you had to take medication before you went into surgery because it was a 50-50 chance that I wasn't coming out. But before I went into surgery, my family doctor and my husband now was at my bedside and prayed.
Amen.
And then the lady who put my tubes in, we worked together. And then when I seen the surgeon, I seen a halo of bright light.
Oh, my God.
Before I went in. And I felt really safe with him because I feel really confident because I feel like the Lord was working through him.
Praise the Lord.
To save me, yes. And I came out of that surgery alive. And I believe that through my belief and the Lord's will that I came out.
Praise the Lord.
And while I was recuperating at home, waiting for my daughter to get off work, there was a shooting. That's why I stayed in Detroit. There was a shooting, but they shot at my house instead of, they shot the wrong house.
Wow.
And I was home, and it was dark.
Oh, my God.
I went to the floor, and then I felt a push on my left temple. And then I'm off to the hospital again. But I was brought through.
Praise the Lord.
I had surgery again to take the bullet out because it was a bullet landing right there in my temple. I could have died right then.
God is so awesome.
And then I went home to my mother's house, but they told me when I went back to see my home, it was nothing but really of bullets everywhere.
My God.
And they didn't believe I was going back to my home, but I got it cleaned up and I went back because I said I can't be afraid to be in my own home. Mm-hmm. But I was I was walking in the Lord's will. It wasn't time for me with these times. You know, from then after that, my husband now, he was up north and got back in about 20 minutes, about an hour, you know, and he was there. But I was just saying that I was always in school, in church, and trying to be the will of the Lord, and I believe that the devil just couldn't defeat me, and somehow I took care of my mom for 12 years, and I worked 3 jobs, and my husband took care of my mother. And that's when we came out here to Columbiaville. This is where I'm at right now. And that's how, and my husband put me into the business that I dreamed of being. And that's how, and I did that for 9 years. And I felt like I'm a nurse. And I had 2 adult foster care homes. And I felt like I did everything I wanted to do. And now I'm back home. And also, we also went through another storm. It's when the house burnt down here in 2010. And I was talking to my husband over the phone while I was at work doing adult foster care home. And it took us, 4 years to get back, fighting with the insurance company. So I know how to walk. We know how to walk in the faith of the Lord.
Amen.
And so that's the testimony that I have, that me and my husband was out here in Lapeer County by ourselves and my mama. And she always told me she did not want to be in a nursing home. And I honored that. That's one thing I did. I honored my mother and my father.
Amen.
You know, and she died at home here. But
Amen.
I've been in nursing for 40 years, but I always gave. And now I'm trying to come home and see what's my next assignment.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Sandra. Sister Sandra, you know, the Bible says that God rewards those who remain faithful to him. God rewards those who trust him.
Amen.
And, you know, I know personally, your testimony alone is awesome. It's very inspiring because it goes back to the scripture right here in the same text, verse 20. When he told him, he said, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. See, the one thing that's so great about God is that in order for God to even begin to be God of the masses, he has to first be God of the individual.
Hallelujah.
There can be no masses. And this is why it's so important that we do those things that God commands us inwardly and secretly, because he also says, my Father, Jesus said, my Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And, you know, God bless you. You are a great example of that, you know. You are a great example of that.
Amen.
And, God, you know, I love you and my brother Ronnie. And y'all keep on doing what you're doing. God's going to bless you in that outreach ministry. This woman and her husband, they have such great spirit, you know, sweet spirit. They are some of the most giving people I've ever seen. And they're also very diligent, you know. And when she was talking about not being afraid and about honoring her mother, all of that has brought her to this point. Because God has no other choice but to honor faithfulness.
Yes, Lord.
Because the Bible says that God is faithful. So, you know, you keep on with that. You be encouraged and keep standing strong. And I'm yoked with you and Brother Roni. I'm yoked with y'all.
All right. This is Brother Roni. I just wanted to say that I'm steadfast. I've been in the church for a little under a year, but I'm more and more. I have the faith, and he took my wife and I through so much in these short 20 years that we believe that we will make it through to wherever he wants us to do. And right now, my purpose is to serve my Lord and my church, and I'm already in favor and I'm getting my blessings, everything I ask for and pray on, I get. And he has not failed me yet. And with my family and whatever, I've never had to deal with a whole lot of death and a whole lot of arguing and fussing and stuff that a lot of families go through because, you know, I believe I'm a strong man and I'm trying to be a strong man of God and serve my wife and make her and my pastor and my brother Williams, all of them proud of me and just teach me. I need to learn and I'm willing to learn and I'm just now getting my sea legs under me. And so thank God and I love you all. And that's all I had to say.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Ronnie. You know, it's good to hear your voice tonight.
He heard what I'm listening to what he's saying, but when he said that I'm willing to serve my that's when all this come up, but we're going to go. Sometimes I run an overtime on this when it's good in the name of Jesus. When he said that I'm here to serve my wife, that all awoke somebody up on the line. Because when you enter into a covenant, and when you be obedient in the covenant, the Bible says you ought to treat the wife like God treat the church. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Amen.
That you've been obedient in a covenant. See, when you walking in the covenant of God, and God is giving you a covenant. In other words, when they came together and said, I do, they bound the covenant. They bound it together. And this is a good thing even when I speak about my marriage counseling courses, I'm listening to what he's saying, which would be a really good example for their testimony to being one
That's
of my
right.
marriage counseling. Now I'm gonna speak about this because I want to get a written statement from them about something. Maybe get them on the telegraph or something and interview them for
That's
me.
Right.
But when he said something, it's so significant and really. I'm not trying to get off the subject here, but all who I'm talking about married couples right now. That when the Word of God say to be taught, is at the death of your part. He said a very illustrational thing right there to how we should be in the midst of turmoil and going through what we call orange cones, ditches, proclivities in our marriage,
yep.
in our finances, in our life. He said, I'm willing to stand by and serve my wife has been an oath bearer of the covenant that I said before the throne. When I heard the woman of God talking, it entered into my mind, and I heard her say, I heard the Holy Spirit said, she's a Psalms 27. I said, whoa.
That's right.
He said, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Come on, somebody. Whom?
That's right. Whom shall I fear?
Look at it. The Lord is the strength of my life. Come on.
Amen.
Whom shall I be afraid? The
word
of God declares the wicked, even the enemies in the foos.
Oh, man.
It's kind of the same thing with Jehoshaphat went to. He said, when the wicked, not just the wicked ones, but even when wicked events come at you and try to overtake you, the man of God said, I stayed in the covenant.
That's
with
right.
my wife. And knowing if I stayed in the covenant, despite whatever we went through, God was going to reward me. He said, I ain't never dropped a blessing yet. And we ought to take note of that.
Amen. Amen.
We ought to take note of that.
Amen.
He said, even when a host camp against me, my
camp
heart against
me.
The heart didn't feel. He said, I saw the light. Going into that surgeon's room, I saw the light. The war should rise against me. She said everything that most couples need to understand about in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's right.
Completely confident. And God will reward you. He'll be
Amen.
You. For those who call in the line, I let you know that we're here on the line with Elder Kerry Williams. And we actually in this particular station, and those who want to call in and be a part of the show, the number is actually 516-387-1220. But we're at the end of the service. I'm to clear my voice here. And we want to make sure the man of God in this show, which is at the Kerry Williams, the pastor is here, and it's actually Kerry Williams' show, because I do so much. I got to dish some stuff out to somebody who's credible. And so I think he's a talented man. We'll bring more of a drama. And not to drummer, but more enthusiasm to the word of God. And I'm going to let him go ahead and speak on the word as we close out the service. And thank God for that man and woman. Got a testimony. That was a powerful testimony.
Amen.
Elder Kerry.
Amen. Amen. Before we go, I just want to leave one more thing with you. Again, just remember the formula, though. Fast, pray, worship, and then praise. And a word about praise, right? I'm going to read a footnote real quick. Praise in the presence of God brings victory. I'm going to say that again. Praise in the presence of God brings victory. And it's based on those scriptures in chapter 20, verses 15 to 22. And it just highlights the lesson on the power of praise and the resulting presence of God. When our enemies, and in particular our mortal enemies, come against us, it goes right back to that Psalm 27 again, too. When our mortal enemies threaten us with annihilation and light, we seek God. We seek God in prayer and with faith in his word. And then God, in turn, encourages us by the word of the prophet, of the man and woman of God. And what he does is, he tells us not to be afraid because, of course, the battle is not ours but his. But with that being done, we respond. When we respond in faith, the Bible says there's so much. We need to really take some time and do some teaching on praise, the power of praise, because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that praise move God, and that we should always praise him in the beauty of holiness. And when we do, God in turn fights our battles for us, sometimes even when we don't even understand it or realize it. That's a great point of her testimony, is that all this calamity, there was a presence of God and there was a peace that was there, that was commanded because she praises God, she worships God. she takes her time to fast. But the footnote goes on to say, I'm going to finish this up because it's time to go. It says, the results are always profound as God's presence and confounded three enemies in this case. But some scholars say that the ambush involved angelic action. In other words, remember also when we praise God, God has angels that are assigned to us, just like the enemy has his imps and his wimps and his legions assigned to attack us. God has angels that are assigned to protect us and to move and work on our behalf. That's why we got it. That's why it's so important that we do get this thing right and understand the importance and the power of exercising the dominion that we have, because we have the right, we have the ability, we have the spirit and the strength to call on those angelic forces to minister in our behalf. And we've got to understand that, listen, wise man God told me once before, he said, I don't worry about anything anymore, he said, because I finally come to realize and understand the benefit package that come with me, because I'm a child of the King. He said, I'm a kid of the King. And no matter what's going on, all I got to do is say, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, do this. Daddy, go get them. Daddy, they're coming at me. I need you, Daddy. And when you learn how to walk in your anointing, when you learn how to walk in your authority is what I'm trying to say. The Bible lets us know that there's nothing good that God will withhold from us. But I just want to encourage somebody tonight, because I'm like David. I've got to encourage myself in the Lord, you know, and I want to encourage you as I encourage myself. This thing called life is just, it's like a book. The book is anything that you can go through. The books of your life. Your life represents a book in God's sight. God writes the ending and sells it and then goes back to the beginning and turns you loose in it and tell you to go in his strength and his power and walk through it. And every different thing that you go through on a day-to-day basis is just another page turning. The ending is already set and written by God's own hand and God's own spirit. So as we walk through this life, we're turning a page, and eventually when we get to the end of the book, God opens up the floodgates for us. But the thing is understanding our authority and our power in walking through these pages of our life.
Amen.
God bless you tonight.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Bless you. God
bless you.
May heaven smile upon you.
Amen. Amen. It's always a pleasure. Amen, God. You guys be safe, and God bless you. Until again, we guys come back to see us once again. Be with us on our telecast. As always, we got many more shows than we do. Of course, we got a Thursday night, the Word, coming up with the men of God. And then you're more welcome to join in on that. Just look to on our social networks or go to my social soap. If you're a friend of Carrie's or mine on the social media, you can send a lot of information about the things we're doing here. And we're flooding the gates. This is an international ministry. These are shows that we have all over the world, that I have all over the world.
Amen.
Me and my wife, I finna say my woman of God. Well, she is my woman of God. And we
True
do
that.
Shows all over the world. And it's a powerful ministry. It's an international ministry. And we have just begun to break the surface on a lot of things that God is doing here, because we're now invading the area of Pakistan, which is a lot of things going on out there. And we're getting a lot of good people. We're trying to get a hold of out there in that region of the country, as well as Japan and some of the other areas of the country. And so we're moving out and we're spreading. We believe God has gave us a mandate in what we're doing. And we thank you as you continue to let your friends know, let your partners know, those who want to partner with me or with Elder Carey on our social networks. You will catch this there. And I tell you, you won't miss it, because you can catch a lot of my services, a lot of his services that since he's been on the show in the past, and you'll see all in the network. Until then, God bless you guys. Got a little tickle in my throat in the name of Jesus. Got a little tickle in my throat. Being with us, it's a joy to hear the testimonies, especially that powerful testimony. I got to really go back and write that down and just put her name in the book, because I got to hear more about her testimonies and her husband and things they're doing. But we love you guys, and God bless you. Thank you for being with us at Harvest Somebody Church and Harvest Somebody Studios. So then, you guys take care.
Amen. God bless you.